Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Our reading begins in verse 31 of chapter 7. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would implant your word in our hearts and souls, inspiring and empowering us to do your will and to fulfill your purpose. Through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. Please be seated. As I was meditating on the readings this week, I was reminded of a trip I had during the Christmas break of my freshman year in college. I went to Colorado Springs to a retreat center run by the Navigators, a devotional group that I'd participated in while at the Citadel. And it was truly a mountaintop experience. The retreat was in the mountains. I had time up in the mountains by myself, praying and time with others, meditating on scripture and listening to discipling words. So it was a great experience. And then following that, we went for 3 weeks snow skiing in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I had a different kind of mountaintop experience. I had been snow skiing once in my life, several years earlier in New Mexico. Compared to the Colorado Rockies, it wasn't even skiing, really. And so I was a little bit nervous, and I was with a friend named Eric who had skied a lot and was very confident. I told him, "Listen, let's don't start off on any of the steep hills. Just go on the easy one." And so he's like, "All right, let's get on this lift." And it just kept going up and up and up and up the mountain. And I started getting nervous and panicky as it keeps going. And when we got off, you know, it's just a steep hill down. And there's no other way down. And I remember thinking, can I get back on the lift? Is there an easier, longer route? And I experienced an overwhelming sense of fear. And then a little bit of panic as I imagined going down, breaking my leg. That was what came to mind. And then I lashed out at Eric and got angry at him for bringing me up here. And it seemed like there was no way out. The fear paralyzed me, and I was enraged with anger at him for taking me up there, because I just knew if I went down this hill, I was going to crash and break my leg. Well, he was very good, very gentle and humble. And he said, "Listen, just follow me. We'll go the long way. We'll zigzag." And we went down and it was great. And, you know, by the end of the day, we were going up all the highest ski slopes and the ones with all the moguls. And it was no problem. But I remember that feeling of being up there and just panicking and being angry and not sure what to do, wanting to lash out at someone, wanting to blame someone, to find a solution somehow, a way, an easy way down the mountain. And I realized that in life, we can feel like this too, that we're stuck on a steep slope with no easy way down. And our natural inclination is to, of course, look for some way out, the easy way out. We look for more information. What can I learn? What can I know? We look for someone to blame. That's always one of the first things that I do, a target for anger and vengeance. For example, as I've been confronted with the realities of COVID and all the protocols that go along with it in dealing with Jack's school and his soccer club, it's been an experience of frustration and anger, confusion, and wanting to blame someone. But the truth is there's just nothing to do to find an easy way out. And so, we will look around, we'll ask around. For me, I'll rant a little bit. I'll vent to Missy or to someone else. I'll go distract myself with sports or watch a movie. And I don't know if y'all watch movies and look on Netflix and other streaming programs for movies, but I've noticed that about every other new movie that comes out is a movie of vengeance and retribution and revenge. Jack and I call it the John Wick genre of movies. If you've ever seen any of the John Wick movies, first his dog dies, then someone sets his house on fire. It's just something happens at the beginning of the movies so that this character, who's a retired assassin, can go on a string of revenge and exact vengeance on everyone. And I think those movies are feeding a desire we have for vengeance, to find some justice for what has angered us. And today, there seems to be an endless number of reasons to be angry, or to be fearful, or to want vengeance on something. And it's very difficult to remain unstained by the world, as James in his letter admonishes us to do, to be unstained by the world. Regarding times like this, Jesus admonishes us in Luke 21:34, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And that is something I've noticed that is constantly creeping up on me. My heart is weighed down. It's dissipated among all the different anxieties of life. The drunkenness, it could be drunk with beer or something like that, or it could just be finding a way to numb ourselves against all of the stimulation in the world and all the cares that we have that are our immediate cares of our life and also include the cares that extend all the way around the world. And when this happens, we fall victim to what James warns us against in his letter, becoming angry, turning to unhealthy habits to alleviate the disruption in our lives. And so we easily can end up deceiving ourselves and thinking that we're acting self-righteously with religious integrity, when in fact we've allowed ourselves to be deceived and even polluted with the mindsets and attitudes of the spirit of the world, which so often is fueled by anger, a desire for vengeance, and an oppressive weight that can come upon us. It seems like the world and the inclinations of our flesh and even the temptations and schemes of the devil that come against us tune us into two primary playlists for our souls. One emphasizes, what can I be angry about today? And the other emphasizes, what can I be scared of today? And that brings about a cacophony of messages from the world. On the other hand, Scripture, as in one voice among the many authors, like the four today from Isaiah, from the Psalm, from James, and from Mark, encourage us to tune into the Word of God, to tune in so intently that it becomes implanted in us and that it becomes the predominant sound to our soul. James writes in verse 124 in our reading today that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save our souls. And that meekness, it means receiving the Word of God with humility, but also with an act of laying down our own vengeance and anger and desire to exact some kind of wrath on our own, and to receive the implanted Word of God into our lives and to allow it to inspire our thoughts and attitudes and actions. James, in fact, he says, look intently into God's Word. And this, there's no shortcut to that. It requires time, undistracted, unhurried, to meditate on God's Word. Following his exhortation in Luke 21:34 of Jesus to watch, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. He goes on to encourage us in verse 36 to stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength. To be strong, Jesus encourages us to be tuned into Him and to pray. Things that are completely disregarded by the world and the powers of this world, tuning into God's Word, being awake to what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing, and to pray. The ministry of prayer and God's Word are the gifts He gives to us to experience the abundant life in this world. And of the readings today, they all make one point very clear, and that is that we are to look to the Lord for our salvation and for our help in any situation, even the impossible ones, even the angering ones, even the really frustrating ones or the tempting ones, to look to the Lord for those things that are outside our control, those things that are grim and dark and depressing. What can God do? He can do more than we ask or imagine. Another message of Scripture is summed up in Jeremiah 32:17. The prophet who's in situations like this says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you yourself have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." This is summed up by Jesus in Luke 18:27 when he says, "What is impossible for man is possible with God." Everything is possible with God. He can do anything. And James confronts us and gives us this absolute truth in verse 117. "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Everything good, everything complete and beneficial comes from God. And it comes to us so that we might be built up as his own, because he loves us, because he desires to do good to us and to be present with us, so that he's brought us forth for this purpose. There is not a good experience, not anything in life that brings us satisfaction that does not flow graciously from God in heaven. And all that is light, all that is refreshing comes from him ultimately. This means that if we look for relief, for solutions, for desirable experiences for our soul, apart from him, we look in vain and the pursuit is futile. And the things that we find will either disappoint us or often betray us. This God from whom all good things come has created us, given us the beginning of life, and giving us new life in Christ. He's given us the word of truth that is the gospel of grace, which is the gospel of the free gifts of God, the message of Jesus, that he's given us salvation freely, not because we've earned it or deserved it, and so therefore we cannot lose it. It is given to us by him. James is in concord with the entirety of Scripture and being unambiguous in his promotion of the Word of God, Scripture, as the key to our life in God and to all the goodness that comes from God, over and against the fear, the anxiety, the anger, and the wrath of this world, or the depression and despair that it generates. So he encourages us, the Word of God encourages us, to devote ourselves to reading, reflection on, study of, discussion of, and conformity to the Word of God. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, as he ministers through the Word of God, we are literally shaped in our spirit and in our soul to live life in this world as God desires. And likewise, concurrent with that, as James encourages us, is a putting away of anger and rage and wrath. So a question for us is whether the Word of God and the Spirit of God can really fulfill in us what Isaiah exhorts us to pursue. Imagine the audacity, the boldness of what Isaiah says to a people in great perplexity, just like the world around us today. He said, he prophesies the word of the Lord, who says to him, "Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you." God will come with salvation. God will come with his just and right vengeance. Isaiah is promising salvation from God. He assures us that we can be strong and courageous because God is present and working. And in concord with Isaiah, James assures us that it is not our wrath and anger that brings about the righteous work of God, nor his salvation, nor his justice. Rather, we are called to set aside our anger and wrath and to submit ourselves to the leading of God into the works that he inspires and empowers us to do for the benefit of the people whom he loves and for whom he cares. For example, all of us must be experiencing similar reactions to the catastrophe that is the situation in Afghanistan. If I think about it just a little bit, any of its hundreds of elements, I'll start getting disturbed and angry or sorrowful, frustrated, confused, disappointed. I'll start feeling a desire for vengeance and some kind of wrath against somebody. And I know that as I struggle with this, it seems that I'm helpless to really do anything about it. What can I do? And so it just festers. It looks for some outlet, for some relief. And what I've noticed as I struggle with that as I meditate on God's word, as I fellowship with the people of God who are also feeling these things and are active in the word and spirit and body of Christ, what I've noticed is we are led to participate in times of prayer for the situation in Afghanistan. We're led to address the needs around us or to support the ministries that are active with the people of Afghanistan or the refugees. And this enables us to respond to this angst and frustration and awful situations by commending the people to God who are suffering, and to invite him and ask him to express himself and his sovereign power to do what is good. In the Gospel of Mark today, Mark tells us that a group of people described as they, it's the famous they brought a deaf and mute man to Jesus, and they begged Jesus to heal him, and Jesus did. And I believe that something that God is calling us to do in response to some of these oppressive and disturbing situations is through prayer to be the they who bring the suffering to Jesus in prayer, who intercede on behalf of those who are suffering personally the injustices in the world. True religion, James says, is, in his example, caring for the widows and orphans. It's fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives, first by accepting salvation from Jesus and being born again and filled with the Spirit, and then growing in our faith and action. We cannot, as individuals or a church, do everything or address all the needs that we become aware of. However, the Lord will lead us to the practical and expressive actions of his righteousness that he has called us to do. And he promises that when the time comes, he'll take vengeance against wickedness. But we can trust him for that, so that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be angry and wrathful. He'll take vengeance. So we can trust him, and we can have a healing service like we'll have on the 16th. And as God has led us, we will devote that time of healing prayer for our military and our veterans. That's something that we can do. And the Dive, a ministry that's partnering with us, is going to provide food and refreshments. So we can gather together and pray for those in our military and those veterans who may be suffering in many ways. This approach is also what we're going to do this Thursday during our September Parish Forum. We're going to have a time of prayer Thursday at 6 o'clock. and a time of listening to God and discussing what we think God is saying for us as a church to do right here in the Thomas Square neighborhood, to fulfill his purpose, to put our faith to action in the area to which he calls us. So I encourage you to come to both of those this Thursday and next Thursday and participate. And as you devote yourself to the Word of God in your own life and allow it to be implanted in your heart and soul, continue to participate in our collective ministries so we can walk this road together as we all face so many of the same challenges. And we know that we also face our particular challenges in our life. We can build each other up in faith through the Word of God, through our ministry together. So let's close in prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that by your grace abounding to us, you help us to follow your word. Help us not to be overwhelmed with anger or rage, but to put off that and all the wickedness of the world and to turn intently to your word that it might be implanted in our hearts and soul, that we would engage in true religion, caring for the least among us, pursuing justice in the areas of the world that you have called us to, and praying continually and faithfully. We offer ourselves to you individually and as a church, O God, for your purpose, through Jesus Christ. Amen.